2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. Just take a few minutes here this evening and look at one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're dealing with the vanishing ministry. We want to continue with that tonight. I know there's some folks out working Vacation Bible School, but I want to just continue on with this. We're going to look at a trait here in a moment that folks that are not only, and I'll repeat this in a moment here, not only those going in the ministry need, but anyone who wants to serve the Lord needs. And I hope it's a blessing and a challenge to us all tonight. 2 Corinthians 12, notice verse 5. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. How many can relate to that? Amen. I'll read it again. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Let's pray. Father, please bless the message. I need you this evening. I ask that you'd lead and direct my thoughts and my words. And may we sense your presence tonight. And please do something in our hearts that only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking about the vanishing ministry. And the idea about it is this. When I have this topic, it has the idea that it is a statistical fact that although the number of the people in the world has consistently increased, the need for the gospel in the world has no doubt become greater and greater. The options that there are for Christian work in our world, pastors, assistant pastors, missionaries, Christian school teachers, you name it, the places there are to go, the people to minister to, the fields that are unreached, the ministries that need people, with all that as a factor, we still see less and less people statistically entering full-time ministry. And of course, at the beginning of this series, we were examining the fact that one of the reasons for this is because some have been called, yet they do not answer the call. Now, that was like Ezekiel's day in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. In other words, it is possible that God says, I'm looking for someone. Someone that will stand in the gap. I sought for a man, and he says, I found none. None. That should make us all sad. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God wants to reveal himself to a lost and dying world. He wants to, he desires to, but understand he does that through believers. Believers that are yielded to him. And if we are not yielded, then he cannot show himself strong as he would like to. He's looking, he's searching, he's seeking for someone that is willing to be used of him. And we looked at several reasons why would someone who is called not go. And we talked about them. We said a few things. For example, some are pursuing secular interests. In other words, they want to do what the world does in their eyes. They don't want to follow the Lord. They want to go the way of the world. They're seeking position and popularity, materialism perhaps, power, who knows what it is. They're looking to go that direction. For some, they misunderstand the call. They're looking for some writing in the sky or some spectacular thing in their life to happen when the reality of it is, many times, it's just a still small voice that God uses. It's something he puts in our hearts and he calls into the ministry. And for some, I said another reason, the problem of looking back, fearing the future. Will God, can God take care of me? I don't know, so I won't go. Now, for the past several weeks, we have been looking at the necessary Christian character traits for ministry. In other words, required attitudes that you and I need to have if we're going to effectively serve the Lord. I hope everybody in our church desires to serve the Lord. That's what we're here for. We're not just here to, what do they say, sit and soak and sour. You know, you've heard that before. Just sit and soak it in and then get sour about the thing, you know. No, we're here to serve. God saved us to serve. That's what he wants us to do. And I trust tonight you want to do something for God. All of us can do something. Well, if that's true in your heart and mind, then there are necessary attitudes, necessary Christian traits that you and I must possess in order to effectively serve the Lord. Now, we saw a few of them already. We saw the idea of pliability. In other words, he's the potter, we're the clay. We should allow him to mold us and shape us. We ought to have that attitude of let him dictate our lives, where we go, what we do, not us. Amen. That's the attitude of pliability. Then there was the attitude of consistency, to be consistent and get the job done. Then last week we talked about the attitude of compassion, not just caring, but going to the place where we have compassion and we're doing something about the need. Amen. And tonight I'd like to deal with this new, another, if you will, necessary character trait, and that is this. We find it in verse 15 before I give you the title at the top. Notice I've left it off again. I kind of liked doing that last week. Little bit of mystery there. But notice we read, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Paul is saying, I will spend my life and be spent for you. Now we know that's really for God. That's why he was doing it. So tonight I want to preach on this subject, if you write it down at the top. And I'm going to call it this, the all-in Christianity. Should we say the all-in attitude, the all-in Christian? The all-in. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you all-in? Are you all-in? That's important. You know, if there is one person in the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that had an all-in attitude, it was the Apostle Paul. From the moment of salvation in Acts chapter 9, when he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Immediately he said, I'm in. And he didn't let up his whole life to the end of his life, recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we read, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Understand, from the time of his salvation till the time that he met the Lord, Paul said, I'm all in. I will spend and be spent for you. Notice he expresses his all-in attitude to the church members at Corinth. What a rough church that was. Perhaps one of the worst in the New Testament. Arguably Laodicea, I don't know. But certainly with the church epistles it would be. I mean, carnal and backslidden and cliques and all of that stuff, doctrinally wrong. And notice what he says to them. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, he's defending his apostleship. By that, I mean, they were saying, you're not an apostle. You weren't there with the others. When they were chosen, you weren't there at the Mount of Transfiguration. You weren't there in the upper room. You must not be an apostle. Well, we know he was an apostle. One born out of due season, the Bible says. I believe the replacement, if you will, of Judas Iscariot. I won't get into the Acts chapter 1 thing, but my point is this. Here he is ministering to these people, defending himself. And he says, you know what? I'll gladly spend myself and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He was willing to be spent for the cause of Christ. He said, I'm all in. I'm all in. So I want to challenge us tonight and ask us, are we all in? We should be. Let's notice, first of all, number one, the plea for an all-in attitude. You know, throughout his earthly ministry, we're talking about the plea here. Throughout his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ constantly pled with his followers that they might have an all-in attitude. That's what he wanted. 10 times in the Gospels, we find the Lord Jesus Christ calling his followers to do 2 things, to lose their life for his sake, to deny themselves for his sake. What is that? That's the all-in attitude. He said, you want to follow me? You're going to have to lose your life for my sake. You're going to have to deny yourself. You have to be all in this thing. Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you want to follow Christ? Then he wants you to be all in. You say, well, I'm sort of in. He wants you all in. He wants me all in. John 12:25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If you love your life, you should lose it. It's a paradox, but it's true. I'll get into that a little bit later. Mark 10:21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. He was talking to the rich young ruler there. And the idea he was saying here, you want to get in on this thing? You got to get all in. Everything, not just part of it. You need to be all in. Do you know that God actually pleads with every believer to be all in? You say, God does? He does. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's that picture of the Old Testament sacrifice where they would bring it to the altar, give it to the priest. He'd put it on the brazen altar there, and that sacrifice would be totally consumed. You would never bring it to the priest and say, here, just take a little piece of it. I want the rest of it for myself. No, you'd give it all. You'd present it as a sacrifice. Here he's saying for us as believers, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, be all in. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beg you, I implore you, I'm pleading with you to do this. Can I ask us something? Why in the world would God have to beg us to be all in? Why would he have to plead with us when being all in is no doubt, as Romans 12:1 says, it's no doubt our reasonable service? You say, why isn't it reasonable? I think you know, because you and I were lost without Christ. We were on our way to hell, and justly so. Yet God loved you and loved me and sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt in full, so that you and I might be saved. I hope you're saved tonight. If you are, because of what he's done for us, every single one of us should be all in. Amen. Do you know that very little will be done for the cause of Christ when Christians are not all in? There's churches all over our land that have Christians sitting in them that aren't all in. I mean, they'll sprinkle a little here, sprinkle a little bit there, do a little bit here, do a little bit there. But to say I am all in, very few are. Perhaps that's why the hymn writer wrote, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Perhaps we're only getting mercy drops because that's all we're giving to Christ. It's mercy drops, little crumbs, the leftovers, if you will. And we're expecting things to happen because of that. The showers of blessings will only come when you and I just say, hey, we're going to be all in this thing. Question is, will we? Curtis Hudson was the editor of The Sword of the Lord, pastored a big church years ago, and he's in heaven now. I think he went home to be with the Lord, if I remember right, 1995-ish, around there. And he once said this, he said, God cannot build a church on spare time and pocket change. It's true. We have the idea, well, I'll just give it a little. You know, I don't want to give too much here. I'll be partially in. And we do a little bit here and there. And we wonder why we don't see revival. And we wonder why we don't see our church or churches reaching the communities like they could. Perhaps the answer's in the pew. Perhaps it's because we're not all in. There's a plea for it. Christ pled, if you will, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I know it's Romans, but it's his word. Heard someone say one time, they don't like the red letter Bible because, and I understand why I like them personally, but I understand what he's saying. He said it should all be read because it's all the words of Christ. I said, well, that's pretty good, but I think that helps us understand his earthly words, if you know what I mean. But my point is this, here he is telling us, be all in. You want to save your life, then lose it. That's what I want from you. So we see, number one, the plea for an all-in attitude. Then number two, I want you to notice the passion of an all-in attitude. We see this in Paul's statement. Here it is. If you want to encapsulate this all-in attitude in the statement of a person, there it is in verse 15 of chapter 12. When he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for them, or for you, for them. Now notice two things about this all-in attitude. Letter A is this, the degree of the all-in attitude. He says, I'll spend and be spent. Why is he repeating himself? Well, he's really not. He's actually building off one word to another word. The word spend means this, to be used. To be used. You spend money, you use it, don't you? Yeah, I wish you could spend it and not use it. I never figured out how that could be done, but it can't be done. Once you spend it, it's gone, amen? That's what he's saying here. To be used or consumed. And then the phrase to be spent is kind of a more intensive form of spend. It means this. It means to spend oneself out. In other words, to spend, again, is to be used, but to be spent for, to be spent, means to be exhausted and worn out in one's labor, to spend it till it's completely gone. I don't recommend that financially, by the way. But for the cause of Christ, I do. You see, a Christian with an all-in attitude, understand what that means. It means that he is willing to spend his strength, to spend his time, to spend his energy, to spend his life, to spend all that he has for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to raise my hand and say, well, that's me. But I want to tell the truth tonight. It may be me sometimes, but there's times it's not. You know, today the phrase, to be used, carries with it a negative connotation, does it not? Nobody's using me. That's what we say. That person used them. I remember hearing the story of a pastor one time. He was giving marital counseling to a couple, and he heard a wife complaining about her husband, and she said to him in the presence of the husband, she said, I was used. He used me. She said, he used me for his own purposes, for his own benefit. She said, I was never able to live my own life. That's what she said. Now, I'm not going to comment on all that. But that's what her attitude was. This idea of being used. No one wants to be used by someone, by the way, in that manner. But you know, that is exactly what the all-in attitude is concerning the Lord. It means we are saying to God, use me. I want to be used. Just use me. That's what we're saying. Use me for your benefit, not mine. Use me for your purposes, not mine. Consume my life. Use me to bring glory to your name. I want to spend my life for you. That's the attitude. Do we have it? You see, this is the passion of an all-in attitude. And we need it. We need it. You know, I think of our church and I think of where we are. We're right in the center of Delaware. And I think of the great potential that we have. Dover's growing. I think we're up to 37, 38,000. It's been growing several thousand for the last couple of years. Outside of this, we're in our circle, probably within 10 miles or so. I don't know exactly, so you can correct me after the service if you like, but I think about 100,000 people. I know our radio station can reach about 100,000 people. And I think as I go through communities, and you do this as well, you see people everywhere. We go down neighborhoods, we see kids all over the place. And I immediately think, bus ministry, let's pick them up. Let's get them in. They need to hear the gospel. Where are they going to hear it? Not going to hear it from the church down the road. Where are they going to hear it? I think of potential. But you know, in order to fulfill that potential, you know what's needed? An all-in attitude from all of us. All of us. I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying don't go to work tomorrow. I'm not saying sell everything you have and go knocking on doors the rest of your life. But I'm saying this, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Lord is the primary thing in your life. There's something in there, some passion that's stirring up, thinking, I want to do more. I want to be better. I want to walk closer to God. I want to do more for God. And you have a burden. I have a burden for what we're seeing with our eyes. Jeremiah said in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth my heart. Does it do that to you? Does it stir a passion in you that I want to be all in? I can't wait to do more for God. I can't wait till church time. I can't wait to go knocking on doors. I can't wait to get on that bus. I think that's what we need. One preacher said this. He said, the prophets of old viewed their lives as something to be totally consumed by God. And they did. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you name them. We go right down the line of the minor prophets. They viewed their lives as being consumed by God. That's what they were. The writer went on to say this. The prophets of today view their lives as something to be totally enriched by God. Powerful statement. See, we need to get back to the attitude of the prophets of old, not just from the prophet, preacher, pastor, but right down through to all of us. You know, not about you, but when I read through the book of Acts many times, I scratch my head at the end of that thing and I say, what happened to us? You ever do that? Where's that? Where is that passion? Where is that I'm here for God? Where is that I must do something for the Lord? We need to get back to it. So we see the degree of the all-in attitude. Then letter B, notice the demeanor of the all-in attitude. Paul said something very interesting when he was talking about being spent, to spend and being spent. Notice again verse 15. I will very gladly. He was happy about it. He wasn't saying, oh, here we go again. Another Wednesday. Here we go again, getting out late again. Here we go, preach along again. Let me know I got things to do. We can all get there, can't we? But we need this. You see, the all-in Christian, like the Apostle Paul, does not begrudge his labor. He doesn't see it. I'm not trying to act like we all should be superhuman and never be tired. I understand that. And act like we don't have any problems. And if we have problems, something's wrong with us. We have to deal with life. I understand that. But besides all of that, there should be something in us that we have this desire that I want to do something for God. I want to be all in, and we ought to be willing to pay the price. We ought to see this labor as cheerful and pleasant and not be grieved that it exhausts our strength and it consumes our life because we know that we're spending our life on the right thing. I remember when the Lord called me in the ministry. I had and you know my story, I had a great paying job, I did. But I thought over and over, I don't want to give my life to this. I don't. I'll do it to put food on the table, but that's not what I want to live for. I don't want to spend 40, 50 years of my life investing my life into a company so when I'm done and I'm beyond their use, they pat me on the back and say, have a nice life, here's a gold watch and be on your way. And then I'll have nothing as far as a life is concerned. When you invest it in the Lord, you'll never go wrong. Amen. It's never in vain. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when we see it that way, our demeanor will be like Paul's. Yes, this is the right thing to do, and I'm glad I'm doing it. Oh, that was his passion. His passion. Notice number three, not only the plea for the all-in attitude, the passion for the all-in attitude, the degree of it, the demeanor of it. And then thirdly, notice this, the problem of the all-in attitude. So why don't we do it? If there is a plea to us from God, if he saved us and we see that we're supposed to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and again, we want to spend our life and we ought to be happy, why aren't we? Why don't we? What are some of the things that fight against this all-in attitude? You say, well, nothing. Well, then you don't live in this world. Because they're there. We have a flesh, do we not? We have an old nature, do we not? And we have things around us that prevents people that are saved, that know the Lord, from being all in. What are they? What prevents us all from being lined up to do God's will and lined up to serve and so forth? Well, here's three possible things. Number one is this. Letter A, the cares of this world. Some people aren't all in because of the cares of this world. By the way, this world is going to constantly try to draw you to them. The devil, through his false advertisement and his glitter and his glamour, he says, come on over here. Don't be in church on Wednesday night, you boring little thing. Come on, hang out here and have a good time. Hey, there's clubs to go to. There's parties to go to. There's beaches to go to. There's all kinds of fun out here. Oh, there's liquor and all kinds of stuff you can engage in. He does that all the time. By the way, he never shows you the back door of sin. He shows you the front door. But he never shows you the wives that are crying because their husbands are drunk. Amen. And he comes home in a rage beating their kids. And he misses work because of the hangover. And their marriage is in a wreck because of it. He doesn't show you the financial mess that people get in from charging and charging to have this great, wonderful time. Amen. And they have nothing for it. But the cares of this world can say, no, you don't want to be all in. Jesus said in Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, watch what it does, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If you leave out of here tonight, you go out and engage in the things of this world, you're going to find it very difficult to live the Christian life. Because 1 hour here is not going to replace 8 to 10 hours out in the world. The cares of this world. You see, some believers would rather even spend and be spent on themselves. Why, they say, they see their life as their own. Why should I do that when I can do things for me, when I have this bucket list I have to fill? I have places I want to go. I have goals that I want to achieve. I have dreams and desires and wants that I want for my life. Why should I be all in for that? That's what the devil says. Come on over. They forget what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We were bought with a price. It is a privilege to know the Lord. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. So one of the things that prevents the all-in attitude is the cares of this world. There's a second thing, and that is this. Watch this one now. Be careful with this. The cry of burnout. Some people say this. Why don't you? I would be all in, but I'm afraid I might burn out. Burn out. Well, I don't want to do too much. You know, if I do too much, I may burn out, preacher. I don't want to go overboard, a little extreme. I might burn out. Now, while burnout can be a real problem, it is possible and shouldn't be minimized. What we need to be aware of, though, is what I call the burnout cop-out. The burnout cop-out that uses burnout as an excuse for being apathetic. And by the way, I wish our churches had that problem of telling people, you know, we're all doing too much. Everybody's doing too much, okay? We're just doing way too much. We just don't have the room for all these servants. We don't have Sunday school. We just don't have all the buses for all the people. You know, we can't put 10 or 12 people on every bus. That's not the problem. Yes, burnout could be a possibility, but often we use that as an excuse, and it's very rarely the case. But we'll say, oh, I just don't want to burn out, preacher, don't want to overdo it. And there's a third reason why that prevents people from being all in. Not only the cares of this world, the cry of burnout, how about this one, the crimes of people. The crimes of people. You've heard it. You've heard it said by many people. The ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. But the ministry is people. It is people. That's what it is. It's not events. It's people. We do the events to reach the people. Sometimes we get so caught up in the events, we miss the people. But understand, if you and I are going to work with people, if we're going to take that step out on that plank, if you will, where the sharks are under, that's what's going on. There's a risk there. Understand, Paul understood this. Did you read the verse? Notice what it says. After he says, I would very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He wasn't being treated right. The more he loved them, the less they loved him. I don't think they understood the definition of love. The more he did for them, the less they appreciated him. But you know, that didn't bother him. Do you know that sometimes Christians repel being all in because they have either been hurt by people or they are afraid of being hurt by people? They say, I'm not going to do it. I've been down there. I don't want my emotions to go through that. I don't want people to hurt me. I've been hurt again and again, and I don't like it. You know, being all in, it does. It places us in a position of being unappreciated. It places us in a position of being misunderstood. It places us in a position of being misrepresented and even being falsely accused. And some Christians are not willing to take that risk. You know, Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, the door to the room of success swings on the hinges of opposition. You want to do something for God? That's what we have to do. We're going to face opposition. If you and I don't want any opposition, then don't attempt anything for Christ. If we don't want any criticism, then don't do anything for the Lord. You know what it's like? If you were to sit in a corner and come in for every service and say very little and do very little, people won't say anything. But the moment you stand up to do something, the moment you speak out, the moment you're serving, boy, everybody's got their opinion. You should have done it this way. Why did you do it that way? I think you should do this and do that. That's the way it rolls. That's the part of being involved with the lives of people. You see, the moment you and I take that step and say, hey, I'm going to be all in, understand that we will fall under the critical eye of others. But always remember the reason we're all in. And this is the key to it. Why wouldn't Paul have said, boy, I'm loving you more and you're not even, I'm not coming back to your church. I'm not ministering to you folks anymore. You know why he didn't say that? Because he wasn't doing it for them directly. He was doing it for him. He was serving the Lord. He was doing what he was doing. He was taking his stand. He was penning these epistles. He was saying what needed to be said. He was defending himself. Why? For God. Amen. That's why he was ministering. And understand, when you and I are all in, we're not all in for people. Although people are part of it, I hope you understand what I'm saying. We need to love people and care for them. But that's not the ultimate reason. If it is, you're going to fall apart and you'll never make it in the Christian life. You'll never want to be all in. We must see through that and see beyond to the one we are serving, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for us and saved us. And we do it because he saved us, because he desires us to be all in. Oh, do not allow the cares of the world or the cry of burnout or the crimes of people dissuade you from being an all-in Christian. So we see the plea for the all-in attitude. We see the passion of the all-in attitude. We see the problem of the all-in attitude. And then lastly, and we're done here, and that is this, the product of the all-in attitude. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're telling me if I get all-in, you say, I'm supposed to be all-in. God commands me to be all-in. And I need to be passionate about it. Right? That's what you said. I need to be happy about it. And then you're telling me that I'm going to be on the critical eye of people. They're going to chew me up and spit me out. What do we have, a God up there that's playing with us? Do we have a God up there that's touring with us and saying, go serve me and I'm going to really make it hard for you? No. You see, we do it. We're all in. And we actually get the benefit of it. You see, what do you mean by that? Turn with me to Matthew 10:39. And this is the paradox I spoke of a little bit ago. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Now, that takes a spiritual mind to understand that. It takes the Spirit of God, and I think all of us understand that. But on the surface, doesn't that seem kind of an odd statement? You want to find something, lose it. So you want to find your keys, lose them. That doesn't make sense to me. But you understand what he's saying. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. God says the blessings, the joy, the fulfillment comes by you losing your life. And see, that's not what the world says. The world says the joy comes from you taking charge of your life, from you doing your own thing, from you finding your idea of what life ought to be and whatever makes you happy and pursuing that. That's where you're going to find your life. God says, no, it's the opposite. You lose your life, meaning you give your life to me. In other words, you say, hey, I would spend and be spent for you, Lord. I am all in. And when we do that, he gives us the best life possible. The problem is, we most of the time, we don't believe that. We don't believe it. You know, often people get the false idea that we're better off being partially dedicated. They get the idea that we're better off with a half-hearted effort or giving less than our best, you know, like we're better off. Look at those people just working themselves to death over there for the Lord. Man, look at that. They're just crazy people. I'll give something. Don't worry. I'll do it. And we think we're better off because of that. But the truth is, the opposite is true. Amen. The most satisfied Christian in the world is the Christian that's all in. That's why Christ said that. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You see, giving our all is not only good for the work, it's also good for the worker. No man can feel fulfilled and satisfied with his labor when he's not giving his full self to it. You see, satisfaction and joy and fulfillment in life are all, take God's word at it, are all products or byproducts of the all-in Christianity. When you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I'm all in, take my life, use me for your glory, I want my money to go to your cause, I want my time to go to your cause, I want my talent to be used for your cause, man, I'm all in. And you're going to find yourself more satisfied than you've ever felt, knowing you are serving the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. And that's where the satisfaction and joy and fulfillment comes. But boy, just sprinkle a little breadcrumbs here and there. You're going to find yourself a frustrated Christian and wondering, why I'm not happy? Why don't I have the joy? Why aren't I satisfied? Why aren't I fulfilled? Where is the joy that Jesus speaks of in his word? The problem is, perhaps you're not all in. Because when you're all in, you'll have all those things. So let me ask you tonight. Do you want to effectively serve the Lord where you are? Then maybe you ought to say, I'm all in, Lord. I'll spend and be spent for you. Though the more I love, the less I be loved, I'm still going to spend my life for you. And then we can say at the end of this thing, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And I might have said it out of order there, but you know what I mean. That's how I want to finish. Don't allow the cares of this world, this cry of burnout, you know, or the people that chew you up and spit you out sometimes to cause you to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. You just keep your eyes on the Savior and say, Lord, I'm all in. And you're going to find yourself being the most joyful Christian you've ever been when you give it all to Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.